Our subject today is choosing faith over fear. Choosing faith over fear. We're continuing in our series, Fear Factor. We took a break last week for Mother's Day. We took a break from it for Mother's Day, but we're going to pick up on it right now so that we can finish this out. The principal text for the series is Luke 12, verses 22 through 32. It reads as thus, it says, "And he said to his disciples, 'For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For your life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you can not do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith?'" Amen. So, I got more. And do not seek, 29, "and do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying." Next. "For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but the Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." Somebody say, "Give you the kingdom." Hallelujah. So we're going to do a quick review for those that are joining us, haven't been here, maybe you weren't here for the first week, or maybe it's been so long ago you don't remember. Some of the things we told you in the first message entitled Fear Factor, we told you fear is the arch enemy of faith. Fear is the arch enemy of faith. All right? Fear has declared war on your faith. All right? Then we told you fear is an imposter. We told you that fear is always trying to make himself look more threatening than he is. He's always trying to make the situation look bigger than it is. He's always trying to blow himself up so you'll get distracted. All right? And then we told you fear is defeated as faith is developed. Fear is defeated as faith is developed. The stronger your faith gets, the less likely you are to operate in fear. But what most of us do is we don't develop our faith. And then we wonder why we're constantly giving in to fear and anxiety. Somebody say amen. And then finally we told you, fear breeds anxiety and uncertainty. Faith breeds confidence and stability. Fear breeds anxiety and uncertainty. Faith breeds confidence and stability. All right? So let's get into today's lesson. As we told you, today's lesson is called Choosing Faith Over Fear. Choosing Faith Over Fear. Our principal text for today is Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.'" Somebody said, "Believing, you will receive. What I want you to see today, and what I'm going to try to make plain through today's lesson, is that faith really is a choice. Faith really is a choice. Now, I've heard preachers preach this particular text that we're using for our principal text for today, and they say that Jesus was talking, it was an allegory, symbolism. It was symbolism when Jesus says, you can speak to this mountain. And I tell him, I say, I'm going to show you how I know that it's not an allegory and it's not a symbolism. I said, because first he starts off talking to a fig tree. And he said to the fig tree the day before, he said, no one's going to ever eat from you again. They come back 24 hours later. They come back the next day and the tree has dried up and died. And the disciples are totally astonished. Lord, look at this tree. And Jesus then turns to them and says, he said, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain. Now, why did he say this mountain? Because he was standing next to a mountain. This is a literal statement. He was standing next to a mountain. He said, you can say to this mountain, get up from here and be cast into the depths of the sea. So what I'm trying to get you to see is that faith really is a choice. And that just like we choose faith, some of us choose fear. I told you that there's nothing I've done for God that did not require faith on my part. Somebody in here have their phone on me. There's nothing I've done for God that does not require faith on my part. And I'm telling you, there's nothing I've done for God where I didn't have to overcome fear. If God only asked you to do stuff that you can do, let me just tell you, it's probably not God. Everything God asked me to do, I knew I couldn't do. The line one in the contract, I can't do this. You'd be surprised how simple it gets when you recognize how little you can do. God says, go pray for this person. I want to heal them. First thing you have to do, I can't heal people. People hear this stuff. They go, man, you really oversimplifying it. No, I'm telling you, this is how it works. That the first thing you have to do is realize what you're incapable of doing so that you can realize what God is capable of doing. And then what happens is you don't take credit for something you can't do. See, if you want to know why people have trouble operating in humility, it's because they presume that they can do something that they really can't do. And then God messes up and actually uses them one day, and they actually think they had something to do with it. And then they want to start printing out cards and talking about how great they are. But the first thing you have to do is you have to realize what you can't do. Choosing faith is also about understanding your limitations and knowing that without God, I cannot get this done. Are you hearing me? All right. That was just a preamble. Point number one. Both faith and fear come by hearing. Both faith and fear come by hearing. You'd be surprised how many people start out in faith. How many times have you heard the story, maybe it's happened to you, where you were in prayer, you were in a season of prayer and fasting, and God speaks to you and says, I'm going to use you. And God always talks in great big terms, you know, because he's a great big God. And he tells you something like, I'm going to use you to build a multi-million-dollar business. You ain't been on a job 6 months. You haven't been able to hold a job for six straight months. And God talking to you about and so what you do, you get excited, right? You get excited and you go what? Tell somebody. You go tell somebody. And no sooner than you tell them, they start telling you about all your shortcomings. You sure that was God? You sure you just didn't eat that spaghetti too late last night? Why would God be telling you something like that? Your credit's bad. How God going to use somebody with bad credit? And they start telling you all this stuff. And then before you know it, now you got a dilemma. Because I can either believe God and operate in faith, or I can believe the enemy. Because right now, anybody who's speaking against your purpose is your enemy. I don't care how much you love them. I can believe the enemy and operate in fear. And you'd be surprised how much people allow fear to overwhelm what God has said. Watch this scripture. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from what? Faith comes from what? And hearing by the word of Christ. So faith comes by hearing. Your faith is developed by what you hear. And so it all depends on what station you're listening to. You know, are y'all hearing me? If I want jazz, I know not to go to 107.5. That's not a jazz station. Are you hearing me? If I want country, I know not to go to 107.5. It's not a country station. So some of us, we can't operate in faith because we're tuned into the wrong station. We're listening to the wrong stuff. This is why I told y'all, if you're gonna operate in faith where this whole COVID-19 pandemic is concerned, you're gonna have to turn the news off. You're gonna have to turn them off. You're gonna have to say, you know what, y'all tripping. I'm gonna go ahead. Listen, I literally got up after I listened to it for about 3 days. I got up, turned my TV off, and said, I'm gonna go live my life. Went outside. I didn't have nobody to play with. Nobody out there but me. I said, Lord have mercy. Then I was kind of glad y'all was staying home because I was able to go wherever I wanted to go. Didn't have to deal with no traffic. I was like, I was glad when they said unto me, let these folks stay home so you can do what you want to do. My man, Pastor Norman was on a plane. He sent me a picture. He on a plane. He said, look at God. I got a ticket to D.C. for $57 and got the whole plane to myself. See, some of us, we just been seeing the joy in all of this. We ain't tripping. Are you hearing me? Because we know we're listening to the right channel. We know my station was tuned to Psalms 91 before this ever happened. Psalm 91. This thing shall not come nigh thee. It shall not even touch you. I had so much stuff going on in my spirit that told me this thing couldn't get near me. I couldn't listen to that foolishness. Let me file my disclaimer. For those of you who think that I'm being irresponsible, I am not saying that coronavirus is not real and that people are not getting infected with corona. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it ain't infecting me. I was talking to somebody last night and they said, well, they was concerned. Well, Pastor, but what happens if you go out? I said, you tell them he died doing what he wanted to do. I said, because see, I can't afford to be fearful. I don't care if they told me it was bubonic plague. If God told me to go in there and pray for people, I'm going to walk in there and pray for people. Watch this. See, I told you, faith comes by hearing. What channel you listen to? Now watch this. I told you, fear comes by hearing too. Watch, scripture. Scripture. Numbers 13:30-33. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome. Let's stop right there. Just stop right there. The man of faith said, we should go take the land. We will surely overcome it. That's what the man of faith said. Next verse. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. This sounds like good. This sounds, you got to use wisdom. You got to use wisdom. See, here comes wisdom. They are too strong for us. Next. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone and spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. They intimidated. Next. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now, You got two reports. You got two reports. You got the faith report. We can do it. Then you got fear report. They're going to beat us up. They're going to whoop us. They're going to take advantage of us. We're going to get hurt. Watch this. It goes into chapter 14 next. 14:1. Then all of the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Watch. Next. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness." Let me tell you something. When you believe fear, I don't care what God has planned for you, you'll start desiring stuff you ain't got no business desiring. You'll be, it was better for me when I was in the world. I didn't have to suffer like this. At least I knew I could go get me some money. Yeah, but the way you was getting money was going to take you to jail. You didn't think about all the consequences because you were so wrapped up in trying to do it your way. But now that fear has come on you, you done forgot all the things God has provided, just like these children of Israel. They forgot how God provided manna from heaven. They forgot how God split the Red Sea. They forgot how God drowned Pharaoh's army. They done forgot everything God did over one negative report. They had a choice. Operate in faith. Accept the report of fear. They had a choice. They chose fear. Let me just tell you something. I have been totally astonished by how many so-called believers are operating in fear. And I'm wanting to ask them, what God you serve? See, now I thought about this, and I thought about, you know, that's why I tell y'all, you know, I can't judge you for where your faith is, just like you can't judge me for where mine is. See, I don't get sick, and when I do, it's near death. So I guess when you have enough near-death experiences, when somebody tell you something's going to kill you, you don't worry about it. No, I'm serious. Every time I've gotten sick, this is my daughter, you know, every time I got sick, what's happened? Nearly die. So you go through that a few times, and well, that's going to kill you. Okay. Yeah. Because, it's going to give you respiratory problems. I couldn't breathe for a year, y'all. Respiratory problems don't scare me. I couldn't breathe for a year. Will you tell them I'm telling them the truth, please? So I know that I have a God that's bigger than this situation. And I know that he will see me through it. No, let's always got to put the training wheels on and balance this thing out. We're not talking about being irresponsible. Anybody talking about being irresponsible? Just like I told you, if you're one of the people that needed the government to tell you to wash your hands, you are the problem. Anybody over 10 years old ought to know the importance of washing your hands. Next, what I got? Faith in Christ is the only safety for the believer. Faith in Christ is the only safety for the believer. What do I mean by this? That one of the ways, Ben Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the nation, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, the person who will give up freedom for a little more safety deserves neither freedom nor safety. And so what I'm trying, you know, this whole idea about keeping you safe, and let me just tell you something, that there's nothing in the Bible that tells you you're going to be safe anywhere else other than in Christ. Did somebody hear me? There's nothing in the Bible. He is our safety. He is our refuge. So when they talking about, the Bible says this. The Bible says when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come. Am I in the book, Pastor? That's what it says. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come. So they can't keep you safe no way. So Matthew 10, verses 16 through 18. Watch this. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Next. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. Next. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. Now, right now, we got governors in the United States who done put out snitch lines. If you find people not social distancing, call and let us know. We got governors who telling folks, one person said they put together a 10-10-10 program. You could only have church for 10 minutes, 10 people, 10 feet apart. How crazy is this? You know, we got all kinds of stuff going on. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, listen, I'm telling you, this world ain't safe. Now, just in case y'all missed it, watch this. He says it even more clear in Luke. Watch what he says in Luke. Next. Go. Behold, I send you as what? Lambs in the midst of what? Now, let me ask y'all something. What do wolves do to lambs and sheep? Have y'all ever seen a wolf petting or nursing a lamb? Never happened. So Jesus is saying, I'm sending you to a place that's not safe for you. I'm sending you to a place where their only desire is to devour you. Verse 4. And then, carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one along the way. What is he saying? He's saying, don't you dare be too confident in this world. So now let's hear what he's saying here. I'm sending you to people who are going to devour you, and you can't depend on none of their stuff. You can't depend on none of the stuff they depend on. Now this sounds like crazy instructions, Lord. I mean, you're supposed to be our God. You're supposed to be our protector. You're supposed to be our refuge. Why are you sending us out into the world that wants to devour us? He tells us in John. Look at John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So he lets us know right here, here's the deal, dog. I'm sending you because I've already whooped them. And he said, listen, he said, I whooped them so bad, I whooped them so convincingly, I whooped them so overwhelmingly that when you go out there, when they start huffing and puffing, when they start growling, just show them your badge. I'm with him. There was an old Western, I can't remember the name of it, Donna probably remember this scene, in the old Western there was a old gunfighter, he had won all these gunfights, and so this young guy comes to work for him because he wants to learn how to be a gunfighter like he was. This guy is now no longer a gunfighter, he's just a farmer, and this young guy, he wants to be a gunfighter, so he comes to work for this guy who is a skilled gunfighter. And the guy told him, he said, you might want to stay away from that. You know, it's going to be a while before you can, you know, he starts telling him, you know, it's not, you know, you don't want to be killing people like that. Well, sure enough, the young gunfighter goes to town and squares off on somebody. And he squares off on the guy, and he's ready to draw. And right when the guy starts to draw, you hear this boom. The old gunfighter won the fight for him. See, I'm telling you, we got an old gunfighter standing in the corner. Before we can even get our weapons out, he's already won the battle for us. Before we can even think about how we're going to fix this, he's already won it for us. And so this is why he tells us, don't you dare get into panic. I told y'all 365 times in the Word of God, you'll find the phrase, fear not, or do not be afraid. That means there is a fear not for every day of the year, which means you can't take one day and give it to fear. I think I'm almost done. What point am I on? The Lord wants all of your fears. The Lord wants all of your fears. You know, we have this thing we do with God. When we call ourselves getting saved. We like to give him what we want him to have. You know, well, Lord, I'm going to give you this because I'm tired of being so stupid, so I'm going to give you this. But I'm going to hold on to this because I might need to cuss somebody out, and I don't want to give up that right now. I'm going to give you these cigarettes because they're killing me. But I'm not going to give you this man on the side because he's paying my rent. So I can't do that right now. But we want to give God what we want him to have. And so what we don't understand is God wants it all. See, this is why we tell you all the time, he's either Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Are you hearing me? And so this even applies to your fears and your anxieties. That God wants your every fear. This is why God will put you in situations so he can expose to you that you're still operating in fear. Let me just say, and hopefully this will help somebody. You know, I tell you, faith is it's a choice for me too. I have to every day tell myself, operate in fear. I can't tell you how many times the devil has told me, God didn't call you to pastor no church. God ain't told you, pastor, will you tell him I'm telling the truth? God ain't taught you to pastor no church. God ain't called you to preach. I've been preaching 40 years. He's still telling me, God ain't called you to preach. Because he's tireless in his effort to intimidate. And so every day I got to make a choice. Am I going to believe God or am I going to believe the lie? Oh, y'all don't hear me. Let's look at the scripture. First Peter 5, 6 and 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. Next. Casting all your what? Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. See, this is why I tell people when they go, you know that ain't going to work out. I go, I don't care. You know, this ain't going to happen the way you think. I don't care. And people think, oh, you just shrug stuff off. You don't. No. I've cast my cares. And I'm not going to let you give me new cares. So when you come to me with stuff that I know is just trying to create anxiety for me, y'all haven't learned how to talk back to the devil. And see, you don't understand that the devil will get in the person that's closest to you to discourage you. You don't believe me? Jesus had just finished doing a great miracle. He had just finished doing some great stuff. And then he turns and asks his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, is? And they start answering the question. And Peter goes, thou art the Son, the Lord, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not delivered this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for thou art blessed among men. And he changes his name. All this stuff happens. Read just two verses later. He says to him, get behind me, Satan. Now, wait a minute. I was just the Lord's anointed. I was just hearing from God. I was just one to God. And then all of a sudden, get behind me, Satan. See, Jesus knew how to discern when it was the devil speaking through somebody, and he wasn't scared to talk back to that devil. Y'all just think about it. They say something you don't like, you think it. I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. No. You need to learn to be like Jesus. Nope, that ain't for me. Nuh-uh, that ain't for me. I don't know who you got that for. That's God talking to you about you. The Lord showed me. Okay, if the Lord showed you that, he was showing that for you. Because that ain't for me. That don't fit what God designed me for. Only thing I can wear is the stuff that he designed me for. But the Bible says this. It says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit by the spirit to see if it be of God. And you letting random people come up and just talk stupid to you. And you don't have enough sense to tell them, I don't want to hear that. I don't care. Next. John 14, 27, Jesus is speaking. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be what? Over and over and over again. He's saying, give me your fears. Just give me your fears. Act on what I'm telling you. Give me your fears. Where am I at? Just my fourth point coming up. I lose count. I can't count to four. The Lord has promised. The Lord has promised his protection. See, the other reason it's easy for me to choose faith is because I know he got me covered. I know that when the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, I know it's talking to me. I know that even if what I'm getting ready to do doesn't work, it's okay. God knew it wasn't going to work and he already had a plan for me. I had somebody trying to prophesy to me one time, and they told me, they said, I saw you, and you were packing a red suitcase. And I said, I was packing a red suitcase? Yes. And it was the Lord was letting me know that the church is going to shut down. And I said, and what did I do after that? It was nothing, because the Lord just showed me it was going to shut down. I said, I know that ain't God. She said, why? I said, because if I'm packing a suitcase, that's because God telling me go somewhere else. God ain't going to tell me shut down, just stand still. That ain't even in my resume. Check my record. I move to the next thing. When God shuts one door, there's another one opening. If the door ain't open, there's got to be a window open or something, because he's constantly preparing me and giving me opportunity. I have the promise of his protection. I know that he's on my side. I know that he's with me. Watch this scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Now, that what does that say? He might. In some cases he will. On Sundays he will. One day when you get right, he will. No. It says he's faithful. Now here's what I love about God's faithfulness. He's faithful when you're faithless. Mm-hmm. He's faithful when you're not. And so he says he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He ain't just gonna protect you. He's going to give you your spinach. He's going to give you some pop in that jab. Pop. So that when the devil come up against you, he know, wait a minute, that jab wasn't like that yesterday. Well, I've been praying. I've been training. And now I'm ready. See, we don't want to do any of the hard work. See, I told y'all, I get that Allen Iverson on me when I hear the Saints. Practice. We ain't here talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We talking about practice. Well, guess what? The Bible teaches us that we have to practice his presence. And so the more time I spend in his presence, he's showing me. What you want to do is you want to throw that left hook. And right about the time you catch him with that left hook, bring that right uppercut. Poof. That's how God talks to me. He talks to me violently. He said, now, he's when you throw that uppercut, he's gonna stagger back, but don't think he's hurt. Don't think this. I'm just telling you how he coaches me. He said, don't think he's hurt, because he's coming back again. But when he's coming back, he's gonna throw two jabs and a right cross. So what you do, you dip to avoid the jabs. And then when he throws the cross, you're going to go under, body shot, boom, boom. Y'all remember the video game, body blow. See, that's how God talks to me. I'm telling you how God talks to me. He talks to me this way. He said, you're going to dip, body blow, boom, boom, boom. He said, now you got him where you want him. He's training me. Y'all ain't getting it. I got one more scripture, I think I got one more. Isaiah 41:10. I got two more. Do not fear, for I am where? I'm with you sometimes. I'm with you every other day. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. There's that word again. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my what? One translation says my mighty right hand. That's why when I hold that right back, because when I throw that right, It really ain't my right, it's his right. Knockout. Last scripture. 41:13, he says, "For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Do not fear, I will help you. How can you not know that God is with you when he keeps declaring, I'm your helper, I'm going to help you? Now, you have to understand, he's saying this in Isaiah, and in Isaiah, they have to depend on external helper. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I must go away because I'm going to send you a helper. I told y'all, God has been taking up residence in condemned buildings ever since Jesus left the earth. Those condemned buildings are you and I. And so he gets in this condemned building and goes, I can make a masterpiece out of this. They just need some help. This boy ain't wired right. But I can use him. Yeah, I can use him. He half crazy, but I need somebody half crazy for what I'm going to have him doing. If I get somebody with some sense, they're going to say no. So I'm going to go over here to the crazy pile and get somebody that's crazy enough to, I need somebody just crazy enough to do exactly what I say. That's all I need. See, I'm the Lord. I don't have time to be convincing nobody. So I got to work with these crazy folks that just, you know, anywhere else in the world, if you tell people you're hearing voices, they put you in a straitjacket. In the church, we call it prophetic. But I'm telling you, that God, he wants to help you. He's always wanting to help you. And the only reason he doesn't help us is because we ain't got sense enough to ask for help. Not only do we not have sense enough to ask for help, when he shows up to help us anyway, I got it. I got it, Lord, I got it. And I told y'all, God doesn't share the wheel with nobody. Have y'all ever seen the bumper sticker? Jesus is my co-pilot. Who ever seen that? Jesus is my co-pilot. Every time I see one, I want to ride up next to him, put my window down and go, you in the wrong seat. You in the wrong seat. Because I need him to be the pilot. I'm co-piloting with him. He's making all the heavy decisions. See, this is what it means for him to help you. It means that he is helping you get through this life by giving you his wisdom for every situation. I told y'all, those of y'all wasn't at prayer Friday night, I told them, I said, if you're not hearing from God, it's not because he ain't talking, it's because you ain't listening. God's always talking. What he needs is he needs people that'll listen, because he's speaking so that he can help you. He wants to tell you what the plan of the enemy is. He wants to disclose to you. And guess what? He knows. What are we going to do? They said that this COVID-19 thing is going to kill 110 million people. I'm just praying I'm not in that number. Listen to me. When they came out with those crazy stuff, I said, well, I better start preaching fast because them folks going to need Jesus. 110 million people going to die. That's what they said. They said one-third of America's population. There are 330 million people in the country. The first prediction they came out with, one-third of the population. Well, we're going to close the churches down because they're non-essential. Not if one-third of the population going to die. We got to get out here and preach to these folks. What's wrong with y'all? Y'all just want to send people to hell. Y'all know they dying. You gonna let them die without Jesus? See, now I'm gonna say something to y'all. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm being real transparent here. Okay. I'm 55 years old. I'm probably one of those high-risk categories because of some of the health problems I've had in the past. And guess what? I don't care. I ain't got time for this. I ain't got time for this. I'm too busy doing the Lord's work. Y'all want to know what's really bothering me about this whole social distance thing? That it's hard to minister to people now. Because you can't get, you walking through, now see, this happens to me. I'm walking through the grocery store and I see somebody, Lord, give me a word. Then you start walking toward them and they running like you're coming to kill them. I was just going to say hi. Let me conclude with this. You have a helper. His name is Jesus. Learn to trust him. And here's what I mean by trust him. I used to tell the kids I coached, I told my children this. As long as you're my child, my voice has to be the loudest voice in your ear. The moment you start listening to somebody comparing what I say to what somebody else said, you need to go eat at their table. Because I'm the one that's got to pay the bill. You mess up, I got to fix it. So you can't be here at my table and then telling me what Mr. Jones said. Well, Mr. Jones said it's okay if I stay out till 11 o'clock. Well, then you need to go sleep in Mr. Jones' basement. But this is the same way I relate to God. What he says is final. He wouldn't bother saying it if it wasn't final. Guess what? What he says is not true. What? He just called the Lord a liar. What God says is not true. What God says is truth. That means it does not change. If it wasn't true before he said it, the moment he said it, it was true. I told y'all. Here's how much I believe that. If God tells you that there's a pink elephant with purple polka dots flying, don't look for it, just duck. Because I'm telling you, it's there. All right. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We pray, Lord, that your wisdom was heard in your word and that your people have been uplifted by your word. We pray that your word takes seed deeply in the heart of the believer. And that it produces that for which you sent it forth, that it would produce life. I pray, God, that we would learn to operate in faith, that our faith would become so radical that we actually start getting on people's nerves, that our faith would become so radical that fear cannot come anywhere near us, that our faith would become so radical that we change environments just by walking in the room. I give you praise for it now. Somebody here's faith, they believe in that kind of faith. I give you praise for it right now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.